USA and the RSC. So that's happening at the beginning of next semester, so and I will also be adding stuff that I get from the Cornell IPA, that produces usage statistics to report, so I'll share that with you at the beginning of next semester, and so if you're interested, just like email me or let me know, and yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. If anyone has questions on that, you guys can reach out to Javon personally. So we passed the motion to resolution 19 to public agenda. So we'll be going to that, and the sponsors take the seats. And you just have to speak loud.
Cool. Just one second, we'll get everything open on our laptops. If any community member wants to speak, just raise your hand and I'll get you, okay?
All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Omar Deem. I'm the Community College representative to the Student Assembly. First off, I want to give a thank you to everyone, especially Chad from the community who's here today. And without your support, none of this would be possible. I also want to give a shout out to LAL Board and PRSA Board, specifically Chris Arce and Claudia, who have been working tirelessly and nonstop. To go into discussion about the resolution, before we do that, there are two procedural things we have to do. The first is that Myra, Marco, and I have been working on language to hammer out some of the details of the resolution. I'm going to propose that as an amendment right now. What I request members of the assembly to do is allow me to amend the resolution as fourth, because me and Marco both agreed that this is how we want the resolution to be, and then we can discuss so the details of why that is and how we want the resolution to focus. But I'm going to make a motion to amend it. There's a lot of language, so I'm also going to send it out on the Slack group right now. But motion to amend, let me open it if I can get the line numbers right. I move to amend lines 45 to strike, line 49 to strike finally and replace it with further, and to strike towards the university's fundraising campaign in order to support the visiting students, and change it to the School of Continuing Education's University of Puerto Rico Support Fund, comma, and then add in, be it further resolved, that those funds are earmarked to be only allocated to, and limited to, the visiting students from the Universidad de Puerto Rico for the spring 2018 semester, be it further resolved that the university be charged the responsibility of distributing the money from the University of Puerto Rico Student Support Fund as early as possible, taking into consideration the actual needs and interests of the University of Puerto Rico students themselves, and be it finally resolved that the guidelines for granting the Student Assembly's contributions to the aid be as follows, allowable expenses include but are not limited to books, school supplies, food, winter clothing, and moving and travel expenses. Prohibited usage of the grant includes, but is not limited to, substitution for income and transfer of funds to other students. And I'm going to send that on the Slack right now so everyone can see it and we can work with the most updated version. But yeah, I make that motion.
You have a second.
Second.
But first, I'm going to ask
you. Yeah, if you could just send it to the actual listserv, because not in order for us to make sure that it's in the record, we need to get that on the Slack group. So please send it to the listserv.
Okay, I'll do that as well.
So there was a motion, there's been a second, is there a dissent? And by unanimous consent, we'll adopt the
amendment. Okay. And the second thing I need to do procedurally is I'm going to make a motion to move it to the business of the day, because we don't have another meeting to go over this with, and if it's not voted on now, both me, Marco, LAL, and PRSA.
Second.
Okay. Alright, cool.
Just by unanimous consent. So all those in favor? Breathe it high, I'll keep it up. Thank you.
vote yes. Abstentions? Alright, vote of 25-0-1, it passes. So now send new business.
Alright, awesome. To go into the resolution itself, this was started with a conversation that I had with members of KRSA and LAL, where we saw the work that the university was doing because the visiting students, as visiting students, don't have access to financial aid at all. That's a policy of the university. As such, they had to find external means to get the funding necessary for it. We were running a fundraising campaign through the School of Continuing Education for $40,000. And one of the conversations that we were having was that, well, we felt that was great, that was a lot of money. Many members of the community didn't feel that was still adequate to cover a lot of the expenses and needs that are necessary when you're moving to Ithaca and to spend a semester at Cornell, especially when it's 40K divided among like 58 students, which really averages out to around $600 a student. So because of that, we wanted this resolution to happen because we feel it's important and essential that students also take that on and recognize that these are students who are coming from a very troubled time, from a time where their homes have been wrecked by natural disaster and coming to our community, and we want to welcome them and support them however we can. As such, what the resolution does, it uses part of the student assembly surplus. In the resolution, we have that at like above $150,000 to $200,000. But even as we were talking at AFCOM this Monday, like the actual surplus itself is even higher than that. It's money that's just lying around, and we want to take 10K of that and put it towards supporting the students. So the mechanisms for which it's going to work, and this came out of discussions I've had both with administrators in the financial aid office, and then also with the administrators who are in charge of this program and the specific dean of the School of Continuing Education, is that we want to contribute the funds towards the School of Education, Continuing Education, towards that account that they're starting for this, which is what the resolution does, and have it limited to those needs that we specified. I know that one of the concerns that Executive brought up that we're trying to address is that they were worried that a lot of the money would just go straight to administration, and that they would prefer it to go through FARC. But there were two main reasons why we decided not to go through FARC. The first is that it's logical fallacy to say that FARC is within the assembly because it's still the financial aid office and administration that actually deals the money out. And I spent the last few days meeting, emailing, talking about this financial aid office administrator in charge of FARC, and people from the School of Community Education, as they mentioned, the financial aid office does not give money to visiting students. Even if we were to bend the rules and try and channel it through, it would still place an incredible administrative burden on the office for something they're not able to engage with. And the second reason that's just not more important is the burden it places on students. If we create a separate fund, then the students coming off to double their efforts to receive aid, applying to both the School of Continuing Education, and then to a separate fund created in the student assembly, which just doubles the bureaucratic nonsense and the loops that they have to jump through, and they might have to repeat expenses, and just adds on to that plethora of issues that students already have to face. So because of that, we feel the best way to move forward is to put it in the School of Continuing Education with those guidelines that we have specified. And Mark, if you want to speak to the resolution.
Yeah. So, the resolution is sort of in response to the fact that this university isn't really hosting the students of Puerto Rico as they should be hosted. Just the fact that they got admitted and their tuition is paid for still puts a burden on the students because, I mean, none of them are going to want to pass up continuing their education, but the monetary hardship that they will be facing can be addressed partially, not completely, with this resolution of $10,000. Yeah, there have been other resolutions and thoughts about how to help the students from the University of Puerto Rico, but we do think that money does solve a lot of issues, unfortunately, on this campus. And when it comes to, you know, winter clothing, Puerto Rico never has winter. People aren't going to know what snow is or how to buy a winter coat and all of that. It adds up. And just stuff like books and everyday expenses that we have to deal with and we weren't hit with a financial struggle or a natural disaster, it's really important that this gets passed, just to show solidarity to the people that we always claim we have solidarity for. If anybody has any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to come up and ask them, voice your opinions.
Okay, so I had a speaker assist from the old business, but I'm just gonna move that, just gonna maintain it. Becca, you're first.
So I just have a comment and a question. My comment is, I totally appreciate you guys doing this. I'm totally for it. I also think that we need to put like $10,000 in perspective of like per student is 7 cents. Mm-hmm. Like each student should realistically be able to donate a dollar to the students who face such a like devastating natural disaster. And then my second question was,
You talked about how you were working with many like student organizations on Cornell. I was just wondering what communication you had with the actual students. Like, is this going to be enough? Is this more? Is it more than enough? Is it not enough?
So we did reach out to the Puerto Rican Student Association in terms of like E-Board and La Asociación Latina. But personally, I can say that I live in the Latino Living Center, so everything that like encompasses the Latinx population is talked about. And from the people that I've talked to, we do think that this is like a good thing. In terms of like how much money is being allocated, it's difficult to speak to it because, well, Cornell doesn't even know which students are being admitted yet. And so some concerns that were brought up is the fact that, you know, like some people that may be admitted aren't going to be facing such a financial struggle as others. But in contextualizing that comment, we have to like take into consideration that everybody is now facing a financial hardship because everybody lost their home, you know? So I mean, that's, Cornell makes you put like everything and anything on your financial aid, or like whenever you need money from them, they make you put like everything you own, and a house is like not gonna be in the picture anymore. So $10,000, let's say like it does get administered like equally between the 58 students, that's still not even $1,000 per student. So like hopefully they wouldn't need this money, but they do. Hopefully this is enough to make a dent in their financial burden. And I guess this is just like a step in good faith towards how we can help them. And if they do need more money, then I hope that they can, you know, we can help them, or anybody, the Latinx community or allies, anybody can really help them to get the money that they need, because unfortunately it's going to be a real big barrier.
Yeah. If any community members want to speak, just raise your hand and I'll call on, okay?
Can I also just address one point about that? Yeah. Or Rebecca's question? Because I appreciate it. And I think like when it comes to financial burden, looking about the numbers, 40,000, which is what, it's a little bit over 40,000 of the raised so far, and like the fundraising closes in a few days, so it'll probably be at that number. Divided by 58 students is still only $689. Plus this 10,000 still doesn't bring that to like a full $1,000 per student. And like think about the price of like a good winter jacket combined with the price of school supplies, combined with the price of food. Like, there's so many expenses students have to deal with that, like, regardless of how many students have been contacted, like, I don't think there's any way that we can say this is a necessity and it has to be done.
Yeah, so I'm really happy that you guys made the amendments that you did. I think Zach was initially concerned, and when concerns from the community were brought up about sort of SA members' response to this, I think it was mischaracterized a little bit. The SA members that were concerned with the resolution were primarily concerned with the fact that it had initially said the university's fundraising campaign, or the surplus would be donated towards the university's fundraising campaign. And so that was a little misleading in sort of the intent that that they were trying to have versus like what resulted. And I think that the amendments that you made are incredible. Really happy about that, and I'm fully in support of the resolution.
Can I respond? So I just want to shed light on the fact that this resolution is like a great step towards helping students on campus, but I don't want the people in the public to think that like the SA is doing everything it can to help students, because we're not. And I do want to say that the comments that were surrounding this resolution weren't always about the money, and they were sometimes about why are we helping these students? Why are we giving them money? Why are we not giving them X, Y, and Z? So I don't want you guys to think that, like, yes, we're moving forward and we might approve this resolution today, but please keep putting pressure on the student assembly to really do the job that they were elected to do. Yeah.
So in response to Varun's point and to Marco's point, I think what Varun said is that some people were against this because of the fact that it wasn't clear enough, but I think people in the student assembly should know that people in the communities do hear what is said about them, and it's come to light that a lot of individuals that serve on the student assembly have tried to curb these efforts of others that intend to do good, whether it be for Cornell Sinema, whether it be for Puerto Rico. And the overwhelming information about what the student assembly members have said about other communities and organizations is absolutely appalling. And it's very frustrating for this to be our representation as individuals, as students. I know the Women's Resource Center has said this before. So many people have said this before. We're tired of being shit on consistently by members that are supposed to be freaking supporting us as opposed to representing us. And most importantly, I hope each and every member who is sitting here, which I'm sure I'm going to get shit on for saying this because I've been shit on plenty of times before by plenty of people who are sitting here representing me. But think more about the good that you can do today rather than your ego and your re-election.
Pretty explicitly about my knowledge of the petty and shitty politics that occur in this space. I have also been exposed to the rhetoric of certain members of this student assembly about my community, in particular the Latino community, and other communities on campus. I was appalled to think that anyone would be opposed to $10,000 being given to these students in crisis, given that their homes were wrecked by a hurricane. I think that the rhetoric that I've been exposed to this week was a gross shift of responsibility away from the student body and student assemblies of their students. PR is being discussed in the news and everywhere as an issue of humanitarian crisis. People are throwing pies at people's faces on Hope Plaza to raise money. We're organizing toy drives. Celebrities are going abroad and helping out any way they can. And I think that everyone here can agree that a country hit by a hurricane is a terrible thing that people need help. But then to think that we have students coming in from UPR to Cornell, not having been exposed to Ithaca Winter before, the cost of airfare alone I think is about $600. And to think that we have money lying around that people are opposed to giving $10,000 for makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. And so I just want to understand why these comments were made. The ways in which these discussions, these communities are being framed in the student assembly, because I think it is misleading, we're talking about misleading and misinformation, to paint the SA as a body that has come together collectively to work as a whole for the common good of the university and for these students, because that's just how bureaucracy and all its glory functions. That's not how it is, and that's how it's bullshit. And now you're talking directly to you. So.
So, at least personally speaking, the concerns that I brought up during the executive committee session was that the fact that when you're allocating a surplus towards a university fundraising campaign in an ambiguous manner, you don't know where it's going. And so that's why I supported putting it towards diversity of FARC. But when they brought up the concerns that were that about the diversity committee of FARC issuing these funds and students having to go to different resources, I wasn't part of those discussions moving forward, and I'm glad that they brought those up because I didn't know about those like concerns. But initially, the concern was for me personally that we would be putting this money towards a fund where we don't know where it's going. And when we're making decisions about funding, we need to make sure that we know where it's going. And I think that they're doing an incredible job now of ensuring where it's going, and that's all I want to do.
I'm gonna have to recognize.
We're not talking about you.
Wait, do I have his name? Okay, hi. I'm Chris. I'm co-president of the Puerto Rican Student Association. So thank you to everyone.
Thank
you guys for helping us help Puerto Rico. So yeah, I just want to emphasize the importance of really helping Puerto Rico and Puerto Rican students during this time. Puerto Rico has been colonized by the United States for over a century. And it's just, I mean, even if you look at the upcoming tax bill, it's going to put a 20% increase on imports from Puerto Rico. So even today, Puerto Rico receives no sort of care from the government. And I just ask all of you on the assembly who are voting today, and even in the community, to see if you can make that difference today, where perhaps we can't, in this moment, stop the colonization of Puerto Rico, but you can at least give, you have the opportunity to show that you care about a group of people that have been systematically marginalized, oppressed, and discriminated against for over a century. Try to do that, try to not do that today, and try to show concern for a group of people who otherwise will not receive any sort of care from the federal government. So we have the chance today to pass a resolution that will help a marginalized group of people who have not, and I understand that we're not entirely sure what the financial status of these students are. As Omar pointed out, though, it still comes out to about $600 a student, which we're grateful for, but isn't enough nearly to cover the cost that these students have to face. And even statistically speaking, you know that the average incomes of Puerto Rico is much lower than the mainland. Puerto Rico has a poverty rate of around 45%. That's about two times higher than the highest state in the mainland. So I ask today that, for once, let it be so that Puerto Rican people aren't just simply disregarded and cast aside. Let it be that, for once, they receive the help that they deserve. Thank you.
Let me say at this point, I already introduced myself, but me llamo Miguel Vicente Crea. Crea. I'm actually my mother's first generation from occupied Ireland. We're still trying to get the British out of our backyards. So as one occupied Ireland to another occupied island, I totally support the Puerto Rican people's self determination and independence, which isn't being respected. This is one of the things I'd like you to do. The resolution, again, is very good. I wasn't aware that this was going to happen today. What I'd like to give you, and I'm sure if you don't know what lobby is, you can talk to an ILR student. But Taranga and I actually were 5 weeks with the Verizon workers down in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, until they got their contract. No union contract, no customer contract. Please take out your phones, and I'm going to give you a phone number to go along with this resolution. This number is for Bob Harrison, the chairman of the Board of Trustees of Cornell University, who's a Sigma Phi alum who I knew personally a year ahead of me, class of 76. You speak with Rose Tobiasen, T-O-B-I-A-S-S-E-N. That's Robert Harrison, and I don't know if you know, he is the chairman of the Clinton Foundation. He runs the Clinton Foundation down in New York City. So call Bob Harrison, ask for Bob Harrison, you'll probably get Rose Tobiasen. The number is 212-710-4438. To repeat that, 212-710-4438. I give you that because we're seeing, even in the discussion, we're having business at Cornell as usual. No. Neighbor means I'm near to somebody. Again, you might not have ever seen Puerto Rico. You may have only learned today that the U.S. made it a colony. It still is a colony. It can vote as a Puerto Rican U.S. citizen on the mainland for president, but they're denied the vote for president on the island? That's schizophrenic at best. But stop business as usual, and I would ask you to ask the chairman of the Board of Trustees to double what you're asking for, to double what the 600 is, to make it 1,200. Stop business as usual. How many times do you pick up your phone a day? Can't you and everyone at your dorm or everyone in your class pick up the phone once tomorrow, and then that tomorrow's Friday, and then all next week,
Have them double it. Have them double it. And stop business as usual. Kraya no kraya. Thank you.
How do you vote?
Oh, you're on.
I'll message it. I don't know.
Just text him.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll pass.
And then I'll check on the rest for sure.
All those against?
Yeah.
Abstentions? Well, the official vote tally for the records later, but then it passes.
The way this is going to work is an appeal of the Appropriations Committee's one decision. We're going to give the Appropriations Committee a 2-minute chance to introduce the rationale behind their decision, and then give the Cornell Cinema a 2-minute chance to respond to the committee and explain why they believe the decision should be overturned. After that time, I'm going to be going down the speakers list. The speakers list will be entirely student assembly members, because we've all listened to the Cornell Cinema before. But what I'm going to ask is that if anybody at this table would like to yield to anyone in the audience, they have that right. If you'd like to speak, please try and get somebody who is presenting at the table to yield to you, and that opportunity will be granted to you.
Point of order?
Yes.
Just in terms of specifics, when it comes to the vote counts, what are the vote counts necessary to do certain actions?
So since this is a approval of an Appropriations Committee funding decision, a majority of the student assembly will have to vote in the affirmative, that's 15 student assembly members, to approve the Appropriations Committee's funding decision. To overturn the Appropriations Committee's funding decision, which would allow the student assembly to fund the cinema in an amount other than $0 per student, you would need 2/3 of members present in the room. I believe there are 26 members present at the moment, so that would require 18 votes to overturn the Appropriations Committee's recommendation.
Further point of order?
Yes.
If the simple majority fails, then what happens?
Then discussion continues.
Okay. Point of order. Just question is Director Fessenden here?
Director Fessenden is behind you.
Can my budget be sent to
you? Can the budget be sent to you?
Yeah, they said it was in Slack, but I can't literally
vote.
Is it in Slack? Yeah, is it somewhere?
It's in the budget of the Cornell Center. It's in their application, which you can access on the box.
I'll see if I can download it and send it on the Slack.
What's your number?
All right. Vice President Coffin, you have 2 minutes.
Yeah, so hello. I think this is the third time that we're kind of doing this. So I would say that, you know, not much has really changed. The last time we convened hoping that we could work with the provost office to reach a mutually acceptable agreement. As has been stated, you know, multiple times before, the primary issue is that the salaries and compensation for the Cornell Cinema is currently paid out of the earned income from the programming that we are being asked to pay for. We have stated multiple times that is not an acceptable arrangement. The provost office, you know, was not able to or not willing to furnish enough funds to make up the amount that would be necessary to cover that loss. And so essentially, we have been forced into a situation where we are being asked to make human resource management decisions as 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds facing public scrutiny about these human resource management decisions. Many of the people in this room have direct financial interests in this vote, and the way I see it, that is a wholly inappropriate position to put young people in. So the logical conclusion of that is that this is not an appropriate arrangement for Byline funding to ask future generations of student assembly members to continue to go through what we have been asked to go through, character assassination, things like that. So to ask future generations of student assemblies to go through that, I think is immoral. And I think that the only response that makes sense is complete divestiture of Byline funding from the Cornell Cinema.
The cinema has 2 minutes.
Hello everyone, we are here as the members of the Cornell Cinema Student Advisory Board as well as members of the undergraduate staff. Joe Lutz today is also Paul Sheeter. He is the Vice President of Budgeting and Planning, so if you have any direct questions regarding that, please direct to them to him. So in light of the Appropriation Committee's recommendation to defund Cornell Cinema Listen Activity Fee, we are here to appeal a measure that would devastate the organization. The provost has agreed to find $40,000 in additional funding for Cornell Cinema before the next fiscal year, which would cover the portion of the student activity fee that currently covers for staff wages. This contribution, along with other university funding and revenue streams, would mean that professional staff wages would be fully covered by sources outside of the undergraduate student activity fee. We understand the student assembly's disappointment that the Office of the Provost cannot contribute more. It would have been thrilled by a higher contribution, but the Office of the Provost has made it clear that it is unrealistic to give students such short notice. Please recognize that this $40,000 contribution is significant in Cornell Cinema's funding history. When Cornell Cinema first began, the university provided zero funding. Now with the additional contribution, the university's support of the program will increase to 40% of Cornell Cinema's operating budget. And the fact remains, Cornell Cinema is a significant student activity, which thousands of undergraduate students benefit from every year, and should be funded with at least some activity fee support, as the provost pointed out. A requested $850 per student allocation will ensure that the program continues as it currently does, with the same quality and diversity of films being offered. Given these facts, voting to allocate less than $850 per student will not be a go-round reason. It will represent a cut to programming. It will not benefit your constituents, the many students who have vocalized their support for Cornell Cinema these past few weeks. It will be a vote to let Cornell Cinema begin to disappear. Remember, voting for an $850 allocation is already voting for a 22% cut in Cornell Cinema's allocation. We would like nothing more than to completely divest from undergraduate activity funding, not because we don't believe that we provide significant subjectivity, but because the process to receive this funding has become so contentious, time consuming, and demoralizing. This year's process has made it nearly impossible for professional. Impossible for professional and student staff members to do their jobs and operate the cinema. Our investment cannot be immediate and sustainable. To deallocate 30% of Cornell Cinema's budget instantly would force us to make us perform a devastating cut in programming, if not a complete shutdown to the program. The process of divesting Cornell Cinema while ensuring that it continues to exist will take time, during which we can work to jointly seek replacement funding and eventually reach a mutually acceptable funding structure. How you vote today will determine the future of this historic cultural resource vital to campus life. We are now faced with the reality that a university would not contribute more than what we have already specified, so it is up to the student assembly to decide whether this valued student activity should continue to exist. You have your complaints against Cornell Cinema management and the administration, which are issues that can be resolved with mediated communication in the near future. But the thousands of students who attend Cornell Cinema do not have to suffer because of these feuds. As we have seen these past few weeks, with the students who have attended the student assembly meetings, written to representatives, signed a petition to save Cornell Cinema, the student body truly cares about the cinema. The foremost duty of a student assembly member is to act on behalf of their constituents. So if you are truly a student representative, then represent the students.
To give you an example of good faith in which I was negotiating during the meeting,
and you know, you can confirm this if you'd like. I specifically said, if the administration were to bring in enough money to plug up the gap, the $87,000, which is approximately equal to ticket revenue and is the amount of money that would be needed to go towards the staff compensation, if the administration were to plug that up in addition to the 40 that they put in, then the student assembly would be willing to put in, I said, I would ask you guys to put in enough money I would ask the student assembly to put in enough money to make undergraduate student tickets free. If the cinema is willing to become an actual byline funded organization, then I will make the, like, we can make the tickets free. But the problem is they use the programming we pay to generate income, and then they use the income from the programming that we bought to pay staff. That is a mathematical fact. That's just true. Like, you can deny it, but you just, like, I'm sorry, it's just the truth. You don't have enough money left over at the end of the year to pay the staff if you don't use $87,000 from over $120,000 that you get in earned income to pay the staff members. You just don't have enough money at the end of the year. If the administration were to put forth that $87,000 extra on top of the 40 that they promised, we would calculate a number. It would be less than 850, but probably more than 40. That would make undergraduate student, and you know what, actually, I see some graduate students here. We could make the graduate student admission free too, because they kind of didn't really negotiate with the center.
Motion
to
stand by another minute.
No, I recognize that motion because city
Hi, okay, so this might go a minute longer than a minute, but I talk fast. First off, to address a couple misconceptions here, Cornell Consulting, if you guys haven't seen it, has actually done a very great, very comprehensive report that points out inconsistencies in what the Abscon presented as misleading statistics. For example, you cited the 70% of wages. That might be a part of overall budgeting, but of that, around 10% is what is student activity fund contributions. And so that is something that is misleading by the Abscon, but also not what I'm here to say. So, first and foremost, I would like to thank the professional staff and my coworkers at Cornell Cinema for the exhausting time, energy, and emotional labor that they have put into advocating to save this vital institution from destructive funding. As I said in the past meeting, and as I would like to have asserted in its entirety, the words and actions expressed by some of the representatives sitting before us today during this process have been provocative and inflammatory for the sake of being provocative and inflammatory. I sincerely encourage not only the representatives sitting around me, but the constituents whose interests they are meant to promote to take a critical look at what has happened here this semester. We witnessed actions taken by the AFCOM and SA, like the misleading use of statistics, accusations of funding misappropriation, that in no way violate any current bylaws regarding student activity funding at Cornell University, and a callous disregard for the integrity of professionals and students on campus shown through unfounded attacks on character as vague as you may try to work them. So, even more chilling than these blatant falsehoods and intimidation tactics is the complacency of student assembly members who have been repeatedly presented with empirical evidence against voting to defund the cinema and continue to maintain their inherently misguided position. Now, especially with the university definitively agreeing to cover even more of that amount was arbitrarily distributed, there exists no palpable justification of defunding the cinema beyond the proposed 850, and any statement on the contrary is a sophism. Something important that I would like to know here is that this 850 funding proposal was precisely what the cinema requested from the beginning, so we may continue to operate while seeking funding entirely independent from the undergraduate student assembly. This literally means we have spent well over a month to conclude our original request for funding, and with all due respect, just because you guys proposed something that would involve university involvement without talking to the university first, doesn't make it irresponsible of Cornell Cinema members to meet with the provost. So,
second.
I'll take one more session, yeah, thanks. The energy of the pay event has served no practical purpose other than to create further hostility on campus. I believe that these actions reveal insidious implications that are entirely anti-ethical to the principles of democratic representation and ultimately serves to divide the Cornell community in the pursuit of notoriety and structural dominance. So, as we finally put an end to this, and I urge both student assembly members, students who took time to attend the meeting today, and anyone who may care to sit in the future to consider, what does any of this mean to you? And is our campus a series of fragmented communities who aspire for only self-gain? Is our cinematic institution that promotes sober entertainment and cultural curiosity a bargaining chip you're willing to trade in order to make a statement? Is our representative body a means of generating social capital? And are we, real students, real workers, and real people who have been candid about our fears and stakes in this process, of any actual consideration to you? These are questions I urge SA members to take into account as they vote, and for students to
consider as we continue to create campus leaders and learn how to hold them accountable. I thank my friends, peers, coworkers, and community for taking the time to attend this meeting today. To the SA and ApproachCon, I actively condemn the ways you've abused your position of bureaucratic power, misled your constituents, and prioritized status over any sort of tangible action to benefit the greater Cornell community. I neither thank you for your time or respect the ways in which you've wasted mine, and will continue to advocate for the improved transparency and ethical conduct of this body during the rest of my time at Cornell. Say Toro and Cinema, and thank you.
Order of magnitude of funding we're receiving. It would mean cuts
us across the board, not just the programming, but to the efforts that we put into Cornell Cinema, the student staff that we hire, and it will not be the same cinema as we currently have it next year. There are also concerns that that the appropriations committee and University of the State have raised about the nature of the of meetings between cinema and the Office of the Provost. So I would like to defer my time to all speakers to answer those questions about what those meetings might entail.
Would you like me to bring
the mic
from you or you want to start here?
I can go down.
I'm Paul Streeter, Vice President for Budget and Planning, and was involved in some of the conversations around Cornell Cinema. I thought it might just be helpful to explain how the Provost thought about this. I work for the Provost, so I'm really representing him in this conversation, and how we approached it and what the conversation was. So, first, I was not at the initial meeting with the Provost, but I think what the Provost committed to was, and he remains committed to, is to come up with a fair and reasonable funding plan for Cornell Cinema. And the basis of FAIR in his mind is to understand really what Cornell Cinema programming is and what does it mean for campus, and making sure the funding plan aligns with that. So that's how we approached it. He asked myself, my colleague Chris Rogers, to look at that. I did not know much about Cornell Cinema 3 weeks ago, and just kind of crash course. First thing we really did was wanted to understand what's the nature of Cornell Cinema programming. And with that, we met with the director of Cornell Cinema to get some understanding of even how to ask that question, how to categorize programming. But after going through that process, and with the director's help, concluded that if you look at the Cornell Cinema programming, and by that I mean by looking at the films offered, using this fall as an example, we concluded that roughly, again, these are approximations, that at least 57% of that programming, and could be arguably up to over 80% of that programming, is really direct student entertainment related. It's not academically based. And by that I mean that films were not selected because of supporting specific academic coursework. So with that, the funding plan we thought should align with where the programming is. So if you accept the low end of that estimate of 57% and look at the funding resources for Cornell Cinema, approximately 59% of those resources in the current year are student-based funding, whether that be the undergraduate student activity fee, the graduate student activity fee, or student income from students. So when we put that together and looked at those two numbers, we concluded that the current funding level at 1090 is a reasonable and fair split of funding relative to the nature of the programming. But we recognize that the funding application had come in at 850, and that 850 per student funding application was going to leave a gap, a deficit that needed to be resolved, and the Provost committed to resolve that deficit. So that's where we concluded in a nutshell. I did bring just, you know, kind of talking points. I brought copies for SA members if you want. It just kind of outlines what I just went through in a little bit more detail, a little bit more facts on figures. But I just did want to explain and welcome to answer any questions about at least how we thought about it and what that rationale was. But I wanted to go back to where the Provost was coming from. The objective was to get to a fair and reasonable funding plan based on the nature of Cornell Cinema programming. And that's where we concluded. So I don't know if Provost
can answer.
I just want to address comments that the Vice President of Budget and Planning made. First of all, thank you for your time again. We really did appreciate your time. But I just want to also kind of give context into the first meeting with the Provost. Right? That was between me, Gabe, and Dustin, the student trustee, and the Provost, the four of us. Right? So we had a conversation there, and the understanding was, so we had a conversation about what is fair funding. Right? So the Provost recommended, as VP Streeter mentioned, that fair funding would be, you know, the school pays for the academic program, academic film, right? While the students should pay entertainment films. So that was his proposal, that was his opinion. Our opinion was that fair funding is that the university pays its own employees, and we don't care like which portion of the undergraduate money goes to which part of the operating expenses. That was our understanding. So the understanding that we had was that we would have several meetings over the course of the next few weeks, because our meeting was on November 8th. This is November 30th, right? In between the first meeting and the meeting with VP Streeter and Cinema and us, just 2 days ago, there was no meeting at all for that essay. It's clear that taking a look at the data that VP Streeter gave us, it shows that education films made up 50%, while general entertainment made up 30%, and there's a gray area between both sections that make up 55%. So we had no input, the essay had no input on how that division was made. I mean, it seems like the cinema met with VP Streeter to kind of go over the 89 films that they showed this semester, say this one looks fun, so it's entertainment, this one looks like a science, so it goes, like, we don't know what happened, because we weren't there, right? So in that sense, that I'm addressing the bad faith part, because when we proposed a meeting with the provost, it was with the understanding that all three sides, you know, will be at the same table discussing the same things, going line by line on the budget, right? But, you know, we just found out that we'll have a meeting 2 days ago, and that was the only meeting we're going to have because we have no time to extend this further, right? Extend the semester. And I really, we never agreed that this was our definition of fair funding, right? We agreed to discuss that definition, we were there to negotiate that. But it seemed like, you know, by that point, it was already determined what fair funding was, like, between the provost office and the cinema. And we thought that was not fair, and that was not just bad, but that's a terrible thing.
Vice President,
yeah. Okay. So, just, I'm going to shoot you with a few questions, so I just want some quick responses. Can you tell me if other organizations act like this in the sense of where does funding go for other organizations? When you cut other organizations, what happens to the staff that are apportioned to these organizations?
Okay, so the first answer is we don't cut most organizations. We've actually cut like most organizations increases. When we do, like I will reiterate this, there is no other organization that pays full-time staff out of an account that we put money into and that uses the earned income from the programming that we pay for to pay those staff wages. You can say the Concert Commission does it, you can say Slope Day does it, you can say the Student Assembly does it, you can make up byline organizations that you say do it. None of them do it. Okay. We've seen all of them. None of them do it.
Thank you. So questions for members of the cinema. A lot of the concerns that you guys brought up over the past few weeks was that we didn't bring these concerns up about staff wages and stuff. Is that feel that way? That we haven't brought up concerns about staff wages in the past, that we haven't brought up these concerns that you were able to react to. Do you feel that way?
We understand those concerns, and those were concerns were brought up in the previous semester, in spring 2017. That's why we came up with the 850 to 22% cut on ourselves to cover the cost of staff wages charged to these.
So it was only brought up like the semester before or the year before? The
semester before, yes.
Okay. Can I read a statement that proves that's inaccurate?
Yeah.
Okay. So in 2009, the university's executive archivist sent an email to the Student Assembly. This is as of 2009, about the previous decade's concerns of the Student Assembly. Within this email, there's a lot of information about going from the origin of the cinema to when it began violin funding. It has the activity fee allocations as of 1999. Surprisingly, it was as high as $11 in 2005 with inflation. That's pretty surprising. But moving forward, the part that I really want to emphasize is that, and I'll quote this, looking at previous essay minutes, certain themes are very prevalent, most notably the lack of student involvement in cinema administration. The issue of staff salaries has also been brought up in multiple years. The allocation has been appealed and debated in nearly every single funding cycle, with the cinema always pointing out a significant deficit should its request not be fully fulfilled. In 2005, it was stated that the Student Advisory Board was entirely inactive and was being restructured for the following semester. In 2006, the Student Assembly discussed the lack of student opinion in Cornell Cinema and considered mandating an essay representative be part of their advisory board. This was as of 2009, which I think emphasizes the fact that these discussions have been happening for over two decades.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
So the issue is, yeah, so obviously the essay for a while, it seems, that sounds like a fair thing for you to read. It seems like it's been an issue for a while. The problem is, it's been an issue, you said it's been addressed and discussed. Why has there never been any sort of legislative change to the way that violin funding works? if it's really true that, this is an improper way to fund organizations, why isn't that some sort of codified rule? Why is it just now? And just something else that I learned in like reviewing all this data, for the past 20 years, Cornell has always asked for either maintenance or an increase in the amount of byline funding we got. This is the first time we've ever asked for a decrease. If that doesn't show good faith in regards to not funding staff, I don't know what would.
Okay, so going back to the initial points, I think it's important to recognize that there is sort of institutional knowledge within your organization in terms of the staff that you employ that have been here for that extended period of time. Director Fessenden has been here since, I believe, 1987. And so that's about 30 years, which means that she has been aware of all these discussions happening over the past 30 years, which means that you've had plenty of time to address this as an organization with institutional knowledge. What were the other points real quick?
My main point is that there's never been, it seems to me that the burden would fall on the SA if they don't like the way things are being done.
Right, okay. So in addition, Appendix B requires a two-thirds vote.
That doesn't work.
And Appendix B requires a two-thirds vote, and it's very unrealistic to pass that and then enforce it. Appendix B historically hasn't been enforced on other organizations, and I think Gabe can emphasize how that's worked in the past for other organizations.
How is it more appropriate than to kind of create a quasi-law in this case? Because you can say definitively that even if we've had discussions surrounding the bylaw use of like wage allocation, then that's been your guys' responsibility to change it if you like cared and it mattered to you so much.
So that's why we're here today.
Yes, no, then you should have started the bylaw.
The appropriations committee hasn't had time to talk, and they have a minute.
Okay, so that's like, your argument is essentially blaming us for not punishing you for your bad behavior.
You are saying
it's our fault for not, like, making a rule to prevent you from paying the wages. Like, do you not get how, like, that puts the onus on us to, like, continue year after year to deal with, guys, I do not know how I can possibly be more than, like, multiple people in this room have direct financial interests in this decision. I have no financial interest in this decision. And so, like the fact that, like, you even, like you, the only reason that you are, like, the only reason that you have an incentive to keep applying for byline funding is because you need the byline funding to pay the large staff budgets. So, like, the fact that, you can't blame us for not passing a rule to regulate your bad behavior.
Guys,
can I also add another point?
I'm gonna
add another point. So, you mentioned this is the first year they've ever asked for a decrease. So, a couple of things. First, the only reason they asked for a decrease, and you know this because the reason that they specifically stated is they want to not pay staff salaries anymore, is because we found in their budget, because this was the first time they ever provided the actual amount of staff salary that they pay, we found that they were actually directly paying themselves from the activity fee, not just using the earned income, but like from the activity fee account, writing a check to the staff. Like, we found that, and we said, like, you have to stop that. That's, like, really inappropriate. We can't believe you were doing this. You never told us about this before. So we can't regulate you if you hide information from us, first of all. Second of all, the reason that you've asked for a decrease, and you have said this specifically multiple times, is because you were directly taking money from the activity fee account. Now, we found a clever workaround. Now, we buy the programming, use the programming revenue to pay the staff fee. So it does essentially the same thing.
In fact, in 2009,
for us was in 2009, when even though we had clearly stated that we used some of the fee for professional staff wages and for student staff wages, in 2009, the appropriations committee said, oh, this is terrible. You're using some of the activity fee money to pay students. We want you to stop that. They initially threatened to cut our funding because of it, but instead we said, we can cover that from other sources, and we began to do that as soon as we possibly could. In the spring of this year, it was the first time that the Appropriations Committee said to us specifically, we do not want you to use any more of the activity fee funding for staff wages. That's why we submitted a request for $850. Our budgets clearly show that we will no longer need to use any of the activity allocation at $850 per student to cover staff wages. To argue against that is absolutely false. It is not true. If you know how to read a budget, you would be able to tell that that is not necessary. The amount of money that the provost has said he will be able to contribute guarantees that we will not have to use any undergraduate activity fee money for staff salaries. Cornell Cinema is different than other byline funding organizations. We have never hid that fact. We were invited to apply for activity funding in 1988 with the SA fully knowing that we were not like other byline funding organizations. The first I ever heard anything about our using ticket income to cover staff wages was on Tuesday at the meeting with Paul Streeter and representatives from the SA. This is entirely new information. We have never even heard this before. Once again, Cornell Cinema is completely different from the Concert Commission. We are only given currently 30% of our budget from the SA. Other byline groups are given 100% of their budget from the SA. So that makes it an entirely different situation. $87,000 is a totally irrelevant figure to be even talking about. That money does not all come from undergraduate student tickets. About $55,000 of that comes from undergraduate student tickets. And that is a choice that individual students make to come to Cornell Cinema and pay a mere $5.50 to see a movie. The SA does not have jurisdiction over how an individual student chooses to spend their money. That is not part of the equation in here. Cornell Cinema has addressed the concerns that were raised to us last spring. Luckily, the provost has agreed to provide the money to fill the funding gap created by this decrease to $850 per student. It's an incredibly reasonable amount to award to an organization that provides so much programming for students. And to argue that we have done anything in bad faith is incorrect. Thus, the argument
be fun. I advise my colleagues on the essay to reflect on the reasons why the cinema is a vital part of our campus, and thus why we should fund them at the requested amount.
Thank you so much. I'm Dial, the first generation representative on the Student Assembly, and I also sit on the Appropriations Committee. And I want to preface this that I actually voted to fund the cinema from 520 down. And I think the question is really getting lost in, you know, talking about whether we value the cinema or not. That's not the question of the day, because we do value the cinema. And I think we value it, and we value the experience that it gives students. And that's why Representative Kaufman brought up the fact that we would make tickets free for every student, even grad students, if the provost pays for wages. But the question that I want us to really think about is not the essay versus the cinema, but it's more what role is the university going to play in funding its employees. Cornell does not pay taxes in Ithaca, yet you say you don't pay taxes because you hire people. Then pay your employees. And the question is, when my frustration with this whole situation is that my frustration with this whole situation is that you really do have us, you know, basically having to determine whether someone's livelihood is intact after this vote, and that should never be your vote. The Student Assembly fee is for student activities by students, and it's not to pay for staff wages. And my thing is, I talk to Gabe, and I talk to you, because today I went to vote confidently. And when, you know, the provost's office first said zero, they're like, we ain't got no money. And then with a little bit of push, they're like, okay, we may have 36,000. Is when you said you only have 36,000, and I asked Gabe, what was the cinema's reaction to it? He said they really didn't push. And I asked Gabe, Jung, and Dustin also. And then I talked to Yuji, and I said, what was the cinema's reaction? Because I want to hear everything from both sides. You just said, well, the provost only had 36,000, so we're going to take that. But at first, he said, you know, he had zero. So my question is, the university clearly is not, they're not going to tell you how much we cap. They are not going to do that. And they, like, 107K is like a drop in a bucket of what the university can fund and pay for the employees. Like, we have to be able to fund programming for students, and that's something that the assembly is willing to do. But if we are, like, with the money, when earned income, if the provost doesn't fund staff wages, then what's going to happen? The cinema's going to have to take money from another pool to pay for staff wages. And then the SF is going to have to fill that pool. Either way, the only way that we can make sure that, you know, everyone, all our livelihood are intact after this is for the provost, you represent him and you're right here, to come in and say, we will do our job and pay our employees. And so you're not going to put the cinema in this situation, and you're not going to put students in this situation. It shouldn't be us versus them. It should be for you to do your job. And I'm so angry that I'm sitting right here, and after the vote, someone might lose their job, or the cinema might not be able to function. And you're just sitting right here saying, 36,000 is the only thing I can afford. And that is so despicable to me, and I am so
Sarah Park, what is your dissent?
I think this is important. We should exhaust the speakers list and also get the chance to
vote
about that.
I maintain my motion.
He maintains his motion. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to ask you all, David, can you hold all of your placards for attendance purposes right now, quickly?
Right here.
Send it online. I want to make a motion. No, you can't make a motion.
We're debating.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
We need 60%
to go into vote.
We have to.
Oh,
so
Who's on the speaker's list? The speaker's list as it stands is OSI, Representative Romero Zavala, Representative Liaison Hurley, Representative Park, Director Bell, TJ, and Becca. Okay, so now, can we all please have a vote on whether or not we are going to vote? This requires 60%.
It's a vote to vote.
So we need 17 people to agree to go into voting. All of those in favor of voting.
If you want to vote, raise your plastic and keep it up. It doesn't pass, even if Chris votes here.
So we're going to continue with the speaker's list.
Motion to overturn.
Second.
Motion to overturn. After
second.
Dissent.
Second. No. Just overturn.
Doesn't matter.
A motion to overturn would take two-thirds, which would open up the discussion to act like appropriations committee. It would still require two-thirds to fund any other amount. That is constant. So we can still vote to overturn if we want to go into discussion on other values.
Motion.
Motion
to
overturn, I hold.
Dissent. Oh, okay. That's fine.
So you can overturn the decision, which would allow us to vote on other values.
I have a point of order.
That was seconded. There's a point of order.
So, in order to approve the decision, it needs a simple majority. But then
in order to approve ABSCOM, we need 15 votes.
So, like, if it just constantly falls short, do we just keep going until
we keep going until the night is over?
Wait,
exactly.
Is there a dissent on extending the meeting? Is there a dissent on extending the meeting? We're going to extend the meeting to 7 p.m. All right. I am now going to hold a vote to vote on TJ's motion.
I saw.
Right,
so we can vote to overturn.
Yeah, second. It's a vote to overturn.
Okay.
All right.
All those in favor of overturning Appropriations Committee's decision, which allow us to consider values between 50 cents and $8.50.
Mike,
it's
up. All right. It's
okay.
Four. 5.
All of those opposed to overturning. Yeah, okay.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Motion to vote on what?
Normally.
Motion to approve. Motion to approve.
Dissent on the basis that.
TJ, what's your dissent?
Dissent on the basis that I would like to hear some input from Cornell Consulting to put together a notably very comprehensive analysis of this situation.
Vice President David, do you maintain your motion?
Yeah.
All right. All those in favor of going into voting to approve the committee's decision? Again.
12, 13, 14, 15.
That's 16. All of those opposed?
Wait, Chris said yes.
Chris said yes. All of those opposed?
1, 2,
vote. Voting to voting. 6, 7, 8. No, I didn't. You said no to voting?
Yes to voting.
Yeah, you said yes to voting. Yeah. All right, this also failed with 16 votes.
17.
Point of order. Can I give you my vote? Okay, I am graduating. You're going to be here. I've never been sick.
Wait, your status is a moment.
I'm watching you.
My abstention still counts.
Your favorite of voting.
voting on?
I'm counting 15 votes, plus Representative Schatz is 16. All of those opposed to going into voting. Yeah. This is out of 27.
Yeah, you're the chair. You're allowed to vote. You're allowed to vote.
It's 16 to 7 to 1. Why are we still well short of 27? I don't know.
There's not 27 people here.
Who's here? We did attend it 5 seconds
ago. Okay, motion for an attendance roll call.
Second. Okay, I'm going back into the speakers list. There are not enough votes to go. Since we're going back, you have a moment to speak now.
Point of inquiry, isn't it 2/3 or is it greater than 2/3?
It's 2/3 or more.
No. So it was 16 to 7 to 1?
Yes.
That's
exactly
2/3.
We keep on saying 16 to 7 to 1.
It was 16 to 7 to 2.
Wait,
he didn't count.
It's 60% to vote.
Jesse forgot to vote.
I thought I was being asked a question, so I just wanted to answer the question. So the question, I think, was why doesn't the university step up to the responsibility around paying staff salaries? I think that was the question. So I think it's just real important to understand how the university views this. Like many operations on campus, there are revenues from the operation to pay the staff of those activities. We don't pay every staff dollar out of Central University resources. Much of it is paid off of income. Cornell Cinema is an enterprise kind of activity. It puts on programming people choose to attend, and they pay tickets to attend. They pay ticket prices to attend. And it's very reasonable, logical, and very common business practice that you would apply those revenues to pay the cost of the business, of doing business, including the staff salaries. I recognize that it might be an anomaly to other organizations funded by the Student Assembly, but I just want to understand the rationale. Where the provost came from was not thinking that the issue of fairness was around the type of expenditure paid, but rather the amount of activity that is being benefited by the students and the students supporting that, and the amount of activity that is being benefiting the academic program and the university supporting that. So that's the split. We never really asked the question, I think it's really a relevant question about whether paying staff or not. In our opinion, the question is to the student assembly is how much value do you get out of the student of the Cornell Cinema, and your dollar should represent that, not a decision on the type of expenditure. It takes people to run the cinema, and it's unreasonable to think that you would not be paying people from ticket income. You have to start with the question.
Thank you so much. I know you just get a response to that. I'm glad you brought that point up because yesterday, Keith Lombardi actually gave us a presentation on how the university works, and he talked about enterprises. And one of them was the Cornell Store, and where our tuition doesn't pay like anything with Cornell Store. The Cornell Store generates revenue, and then everything is paid by that revenue. And the Cornell Store is a store that students choose to go to. And just like the Cornell Cinema, but there's a difference in those enterprises that students are actually subsidizing the Cornell Cinema. We are giving money into that to make sure that it runs. We are giving our money for programming. We're not giving money for staff wages. Therefore, they're like professors are paid for students. We choose to go to class. The university pays a lot of people that, provide services that students choose to go to. And I don't think that argument is really fair because Cornell Cinema is, a byline organization. It's not like these other enterprises. So it is your responsibility. When I say I'm not saying specifically for you, but it is the university's responsibility to pay for that. It is not ours. We are paying simply for the programming aspect. And we do say that, the earned revenue part, like the earned income part, we can't, imagine that it can't go towards running the cinema. No, we imagine the earned income part going towards, getting films, the shipping of the films, everything that is about programming. We imagine you paying pay for the staff to run the cinema.
Motion to vote.
Second.
I don't think that I'm going to be able to.
There are only 26 people in the room.
No, but
Thank you.
shift that next people get come back, you know, we, like, normal state of emotion.
Yeah, I already, like, confirmed that. So.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks for your word. Right. It means a lot.
Okay, yeah. I'm gonna
Okay, so a couple things. First, Mike. I apologize at the last meeting. I apologize at the last Super Assembly. I specifically
issued an apology.
I issued an apology for that. I am sorry for how I behaved after that. I am sorry for that. But.
Excuse me, I would not like to have you speaking to me right now.
Okay.
I would prefer to hear from any other member of the student assembly. I would like to hear any other member of the student assembly defend the actions of Vice President Coffin throughout this entire meeting.
I can't hear anyone. Can you repeat that, please? I couldn't hear.
I would like to hear any other member of the student. Not you either.
Oh, Mark.
Speaking of, because I hope you don't identify me with a lot of other people on this assembly. And so I just want to preface this by saying that although we all are, like, you have to realize that the moment we're elected into these positions, there's so much more pressure on us. There's so much more scrutiny of literally everything we do, what we say. If we don't breathe the right way, there's going to be a Sun article about it in 2 minutes. So I want to preface with that. Now, I do apologize for Kate, but I don't believe that the apology should be coming from me. I understand that you're heated right now. We're all heated in this room. We just voted. People might lose their jobs, etc. But I do think that when you're here...
You told us that we are automatons. You told us that we were here because we had financial investments and that we were mobilized like robots. I am about to lose my job. I am going to have to seek a new job, and it is because of you. I am not an automaton. This is not some interest. You are taking away my livelihood. My girlfriend here has depression. She goes to the cinema because it provides her with a safe space to take care of herself. Why are you taking this away?
You mean straighter. This is why this shouldn't have been.
And I didn't mean to make that statement insensitively. I just hope that you realize the fact that we're 18, 19, 20, 21. We shouldn't be voting on your job. And I'm so sorry that this happened. And I know that my opinion isn't as valid as yours because I do not work for the cinema. And that decision is not going to affect me personally. But the man that man works for should.
You can't do that.
Okay.
He's speaking for the office.
Right. The man that you work for, and I'm sorry that you're putting on the spot, he should be paying your salary, not us. And I do hope that you recognize that. I really do hope. Because I don't vote in consensus with a lot of these people. I almost never vote in consensus with Gabe Coffin on the student assembly. But I need you to realize that we shouldn't be paying you. And I'm sorry that this had to happen this year. And I do understand that it was never brought up, that it was never a rule, that that it wasn't a definite rule that you guys shouldn't pay wages, but I'm sorry that we had to be the trailblazing year.
Advocate for us more the way that you advocated to get that
36,000. Wait, Mark, here's the problem.
I'm just going to say, because this is an extraordinary circumstance, even though the vote has been, this is done, we're going to continue discussion.
I just want to say that, like, reiterate Noelle's point that this has been the single most disrespectful situation I've ever been in my life. To have a student that was elected to represent the student body and has no student support. I am so ashamed.
And I would like to just say, because there are representatives who do put their heart on the line, and I can't speak for all of them. I can't say that, but there are representatives who put their heart on the line every single day for certain, for groups on this campus. And I'm sorry if you have been disrespected, because that's not the answer. But what I'm not hearing from this conversation, and that's what disappoints me, is the idea of how do we move forward. You guys have zeroed in, but I have not heard one solution yet. We're focused on so much negativity of saying zero now, and we're justifying it, but I have not heard one person propose any type of solution. I want to know right now, when is the next meeting between not just AFSCOM, but the student assembly in Cornell Cinema? How do we move forward as a body? Because that's what we are. We are representative, so now it's time for all the representatives to help advocate for this byline-funded organization. Because we are, at the end of the day, a byline-funded organization. We can't change that right now.
Regardless of your feelings on how the university should structure the cinema, that should not have been a consideration during this vote, when the reality is that the provost's office has said what it said. And I understand that being on the student assembly involves hard decisions and public decisions, but you knew that when you ran, and if you don't like the realities of the office that you hold, step down.
So I just want to briefly address this discussion about the provost and kind of look at the issue of why you can't just keep pointing at the administration as the problem here. Look, the fact of the matter is it's over, right? The administration, whether or not you agree or disagree with their funding decision, has put us as a student body or the SA, you have to represent us in a united fashion. They have put us in a situation where there is no more, right? And so today, you were supposed to be voting with that information in mind, right? You were supposed to be voting with the information in mind that we are at the bottom line here, that the SA is the last line of defense for the necessary funding the Cornell Cinema needs to maintain not just its operations and the well-being of its employees, but also to maintain its cultural relevance to the Cornell student body, which you were all elected to represent as fellow students. So you cannot keep deflecting the argument by pointing at an administrative person who showed up to this meeting. Thank you for taking your time. But you can't do that because it's already done. What you have instead done today is point your fingers and gut an organization off of what kind of logic, I have no idea. But because the administration has put the student body in such an uncomfortable position, the SA should be uniting with Cornell Cinema, with the entire constituency of Cornell, which has time and time again demonstrated its strong support in favor of funding for the cinema, but you didn't. And to me, that's absolutely appalling. I don't know, you know, what political dispositions you have, but I know a lot of Cornell students have problems with our actual American Congress because of inefficiency, corruption, illogical decisions. You have all failed Cornell institution to be leaders of something better than that. Better than this current gridlocked Congress that represents something far worse than what we've ever seen before in our nation. And so it just bothers me that intelligent people such as yourselves have reached a point in which you are mimicking the very same institution that is gutting our country today. So please reconsider your decisions, because what you just did is a travesty on your behalf as representatives of the student government. Feel free to argue this, but there isn't really too much to counter.
That you understand and have empirically proven time and time again that it is
upset and uncomfortable with the fact that money was going to pay staff wages is because they felt, like many of the people communicated in this meeting, that it was inappropriate to be putting that onus on you guys to do. But what you could have done is try to wean off of that, to try to wean that funding off. What you just did was cut it off. So you just endangered the jobs of everyone here who works for the cinema, including the adults who depend on that, to make a livelihood. That's what you just did by doing this, by reducing it to zero. You could have tried to wean it off, but you didn't. And that is disgusting. I'm disgusted.
Okay, I'm gonna
end discussion.
Yeah.
Please don't end discussion. I'm sorry.
I'm
not done talking here.
Okay, do you need to make a motion?
I made it. Yeah.
You can end discussion, but don't end
discussion.
No,
wait, what is that?
End discussion and
end.
There's so much that you guys could be doing, you know, as you enjoy that extra $8.50 every year that you are saving. As you eat that half a hamburger, you could be thinking, wow, I sent all these people away from their jobs. Wow, I cut off funding to the arts in this beautiful Trumpist regime that you're all clearly representing. You're about to graduate, you're going to have the rest of your life to not do arts. Go enjoy doing that. But you, this is your legacy.
Yeah, it is
this
your
is
leg-
legacy. Your legacy. You are cutting them off forever! You are putting people out of work who have come here from across the country! I hope you're fucking proud of yourselves. Now, you can still revoke. You can still undo that vote. This is not a sunk cost if you really, really want to. This meeting's not over yet. But, think about this. Think about this, every one of you who just voted to defund this. This is your legacy. People will remember you for this.
Alright. You motion.
I'm right here.
Sure. I'm gonna shake speech.
Thank you. I echo so many sentiments I've heard. It doesn't have to be said that so much disappoints me, but that's what I have to say here, that the number one thing that's been so hurtful has been hearing how flippantly people say, well, people might lose their jobs. I'm here, right here, someone who's relied on the Cornell Center as a job. And I often work over 20 hours a week, close to 25, to my different jobs on campus. It sucks, makes it incredibly difficult to focus on my studies, but I have to. So do not be flippant when you talk about people losing their jobs. This is an incredibly critical thing. I am sorry that you're put in this position. I'm sorry you're uncomfortable with this position. But you could have allocated that $8.50, kept people like me in a safe position, and then worked with us over 2 years to wean us off. But shame on you for saying that flippantly.
Just send.
Someone wants to speak.
Okay, I'm gonna recognize